Okay, today's shiur is going to be given L'zecha Nishmas U'l'ili Nishmas HaChaver Rabbi Yehuda ben HaChaver of Meir, and it should be a source of Ili for his Neshama. In the Pasuk, in this week's Parsha, Chayesara says, Vayigva Vayamas Avram B'seva Teva Zaken V'saveya Vayayosef El Amav. Avram Avinu dies at a ripe old age. He was elderly, he was saveya, he was full, he was satisfied, and then he was gathered to his nation. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Tzadi Aleph says in the name of Rav, Oisai Hayyim, Shenifter Avram Avinu, that day that Avram Avinu was Nifter, Amdu kol gedayle umayis ha'aylam b'shura. All of the gedayle umayis ha'aylam, the leaders of the nation, you would have all of the United Nations leaders, prime ministers, presidents, and they would all be standing in one row. And they all said in unison about the death of Avram Avinu, Aylai la'aylam sha'avid manhigo. Woe is it to the world who has lost its manig, its leader, the Ayla la Svina Sha'avda Kabernita, and woe is to the ship that has lost its captain. So all of the Umay Sa'ilam recognize something unique about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was not just a rabbi in a tent that was having guests over on Shabbos. Avram Avinu was the leader of the entire world. Avram Avinu was a melech, he was a king, he was a monarch, he was extremely powerful, extremely wealthy, internationally famous. And when he died, the world took note. It was not just a local event when Avram Avinu left the world, but all the Gedalei Umas Ha'olam, the greatest of people in the world, they came and they were maspid him as one in unison, and they said that woe is the world that has lost their manig, this is the manig of the world, and woe is to the world, to the ship who has lost its captain. And when you see such a chazal, and you see that there's two ways of describing Avraham Avinu, that should automatically raise your antennas and begin to wonder what exactly is the difference. It sounds so similar. It sounds like there is the same sort of idea, leadership. I'm a leader of the world and I'm a captain of a ship. A captain of a ship is just a nicer, maybe more poetic way of saying that you're a leader, you're at the helm of something. What does Chazal mean when it says this? What did these leaders mean when they said it? And I saw in a sefer called Yalkut Yehuda, he says a beautiful idea. He says if you are a historian, if you study history, you will know that there are different types of leaders. And some leaders are very good peacetime leaders. That means that when they're very good stewards of the economy, when things are going well, they're able to really figure out how to make them work better, how to bring unity to the people, you know, when things are good. And there have been many presidents, if we want to just stay with American politics, there have been many presidents that are wonderful stewards of the economy when things were going well. They're known to be good leaders of state. I'll give you one example. President Clinton. He himself personally was a very flawed individual, as we know. But in terms of presidency, in terms of being able to lead a country, he was a great communicator, and he was able to effectively, the economy was never better, the economy was churning, and you know, he was a very good, effective peacetime leader. And there are others. Then there are some leaders that are very effective in times of war. They're not very great presidents in general, but all of a sudden, if there is a war, if there is an attack, they rise to the occasion and they're known to be exceedingly good at leading a country when there's crisis. President Bush Sr. was a good example of that. He was a very mediocre president. He wasn't really doing much. The economy wasn't doing so well under him. Nothing was doing well. But all of a sudden, when Saddam Hussein started, he moved into Kuwait and he took that over. All of a sudden, President Bush became, and he really was a military guy. He was in charge of the CIA. He was an ambassador. He knew foreign policy very well. He had a lot of connections. He rose to the occasion. He became a great president. His son also was, I don't think he was the greatest regular president, but after 9/11, he was the right man at the right time. And he basically was able to create a country unified to go and attack Al-Qaeda wherever they were, and he will go down in history as being a great president for that moment. Winston Churchill was a fantastic prime minister of England. He was the one that really effectively stood up to Hitler, and he convinced America to get on board, and without Winston Churchill, it would be a very different world today probably. Rahmanul Islam. Interestingly, after the war was over, Churchill lost the election in England. He was basically booted out of power because during peacetime there was nothing really so special about him. But he was the right man at the right time in history. He was very good at times of crisis, at times of war, with his speech and his spirit, and he was able to galvanize a people and lead them to victory. But sometimes you don't have both. Very rare is it that you have a great peacetime president and a great wartime president or prime minister or king. You're good at one thing or you're good at another thing, but very rare is it that you have one person that's able to be both a regular great leader and a leader in times of war that's also has all of the, all of the key criteria that he needs, talents and skills, to be able to lead their nation in times of peace and war. Avraham Avinu did have both. Avraham Avinu was an amazing king and leader when things were good, when things were regular, quote-unquote, in the world, and also when things were very bad, Avraham Avinu was able to steer the ship to safe harbors. That's what Chazal mean when they say that all of the Ummah Yisraelim got up and said when Avraham Avinu was nifter, "Oilai la'olam sha'aved manhiga." Manhig is somebody that's able to direct and to preside over a country, over a world, when things are regular. A leader, a regular leader in regular, normal times. But there's an additional element that they praised Avraham Avinu for, "Va'olai l'sfina sha'aved kabernita." When you're on a ship, and we know that ships sometimes toss and turn, and they are in a raging tempest, and they're rocking, and things are not smooth at all, and we're living in times of crisis, the captain of the ship is very important to have a steady hand on the wheel of the ship and to be able to make sure to know how to navigate those seas to get through those times. And Avraham Avinu was able to be the manig of the world, and he was also able to be the kabarnit of the Sfina. He was able to captain the ship when the ship was rocking, when the world was in crisis and turmoil. Avraham Avinu was there to take leadership and to be there to calm the people, to lead the people, to be able to find a way to solve the problems that needed to be solved, and to deal with them in the times of crisis. I was thinking to say that based on this beautiful Yisayid, we can maybe understand what the Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereishis Rabba Lamed Tes, says, when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, "Ve'escha l'gai gadol," I will make you into a great nation. What does that mean? "Va'agadla shemecha," and I will make your name great. So the Medrash says, "Yatza loy mainitan," he had a coin. There was currency that was minted with Avraham Avinu on it. That's what it means. Vagadlo Shemecha. You don't get too much more famous than if your name, if your face or your name is on every currency. Abraham Lincoln is pretty famous. Why? First of all, for being a president, but also every $5 bill has Abraham Lincoln's picture. Every penny has Abraham Lincoln's picture on it. That's very famous. You don't get much more publicity than having your picture on currency. Avraham Avinu, ve'eschel agai gadol, you're going to be great. Va'agad l'shma, your name is going to be so great. In what sense? There was a coin that was minted with Avraham Avinu on it. Umahu mainitin shalai. What was exactly the image of Avraham Avinu that was stamped on this coin? Zakein uzakeina mikan, bachar ubesula mikan. On one side of the coin, there was an old man and an old woman. On the other side of the coin, there was a young bachar and a young girl. By the way, Taisus says that it doesn't mean that there was an actual picture that was stamped on the coin, because Shaila and Halacha, whether or not it's not so posh in Halacha to stamp an image on a coin, to have an image of a person on a coin. So therefore, what it means is it just said the word Zakein Uzakein on one side and Bachem Besul on the other side. But be that as it may, this is what the Medrash says. So the coin of Avraham Avinu was a Zakein on one side and a Bachar on the other side. And of course, this is also something that is, you know, fertile ground for Darshanim to try to understand what does this mean exactly, what's the depth, what's the aimic of the Medrash. But in the context of what we're saying today, I think it makes a lot of sense that Avraham Avinu's coin is that on one side he was a Zakein and on the other side he was a Bachar. What do I mean by that? We say in Anim Zemiris, Zikna b'yayim din, uvachrus b'yayim krav. That zikna is a maila when it comes to judging. When you have a judge and he's elderly and he's wise and he's seasoned, that's a good judge. You don't want a judge that's just straight out of law school or something. You want a judge that has experience, has seen, been around the block a couple of times, a lot of experience. He's able to really deliberate properly, make the proper decisions. A paisik that has a lot of experience, that's the paisik that you want. You don't want a paisik that's just like, you know, just got a smicha yesterday. You want somebody that really, zikna b'yayim din. Uvacharas, when it comes to war, who do you want if you're creating an army? What type of people? You want an old guy in your army? No. I don't want old men in my army. I want the fittest. I want like young, very, very robust, very, very active, able-bodied young men to be able to fight a war. Uvachros b'yem krab. On a day of milchama, Hashem is both. That's what Anim Zemiris is talking about. It's really Psukim and Shir Hashirim also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has both. Sometimes he appears like a Zakein, like by Har Sinai, when it comes to giving Torah, when it comes to giving Mishpat, he's a Zakein. And then sometimes when he's fighting a battle, he appears, whatever this means, he appears as a Bachar. He's strong, he's dynamic. Avraham Avinu had both sides of the coin. He was a Zakein. He was a manig, he was wise, he knew how to run the economy, he knew how to run the world. He had wisdom of an older person, of a more mature, weathered type of seasoned person. That was Avraham Avinu on one side of his coin, but on the other side of the coin, when there was war, when there was crisis, he was a bachar. He knew how to fight, he knew how to steer the ship in a way that was proper for its time. He had both. Avraham Avinu was a kolba. He was able to have both elements. He was able to be wise and strong. He was able to have the leadership of somebody that has great experience, but also he had the strength and the power that when things were tough, when there was a new threat on the horizon, he was able to rise to the occasion and deal with the threat as it presented itself. Manhige Yisrael, Gedele Yisrael, are in the image of Avraham Avinu. All leaders of Klal Yisrael are always trying to emulate the Aves. Masi Agiu, Maisai, We learn so much from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov in terms of how to be manig. For example, the Ramban brings the Chazal by Yaakov Avinu when he had this encounter with Esav, when Esav wanted to kill him, and how he exactly dealt with Esav, and what he sent him. He sent the matanis, and he davened, and he was ready for battle. All of these parshas are very pregnant with valuable information for Manhigei Yisrael. So Manhigei Yisrael, whenever they went to visit the Roman government, they wanted to try to, I don't know, maybe stop a terrible decree that was enacted. They would study well this parsha of Yaakov with Esav, because these are all Maisa Avisim Labanim. We learn so much from the Avis. All the parshas in the Torah for every Yid, but Bifrat for Manhigei Yisrael, are very, very key elements of understanding how to be a leader. And Manhigei Yisrael are people that have to have both. A Manhig Yisrael is somebody that has Zikna and he has Bachrus. He has the ability to be a regular Manhig in regular times, to lead, to paskin, to give advice, to be able to be Madrich, a nation. But then at the same time, when there is crisis, and very often Klal Yisrael deal with terrible crisis and deal with upheaval and milchamis and pogroms and holocausts and inquisitions, all eyes turn to the Manhigei Yisrael, the same manhig that was able to lead Klal Yisrael in regular times. These were the Rabbanim, these were the Paiskim, these were the Rosh Yeshivas, the Abestins, the people that you went to in regular times for as a manhig. They were also able to be the Kabarnita Shel Sfina. They were able to be the captains of the ship of Klal Yisrael, steering the ship in times of terrible crisis, to know exactly how to deal with the world at large, how to deal with all of the issues at hand. And they were able to be great in peacetime, great in war, great in times of tranquility, and great in times of turmoil. I'll give you a few examples of such great men. The Dvar Avram was the Rav of Kovna. His name was Rav Avram Doivber Kahana Shapiro. And he was the Rav in the great city of Kovna. Kovna is a great Lithuanian Torah center. And it has a famous suburb called Slabotka. Right over the bridge of Kovna was a smaller hamlet called Slabotka, which we know for all of the greatness that came out of Slabotka, but it was really like almost part of the greater city of Kovna. Kovna had great Rabbanim. Yitzchak Yochanan Spector was a Rav of Kovna. And the Dvar Avram was, we have his Svarim, Shaul Sechuas Dvar Avram, classic Svarim. It's very hard to find a more classic set of Tshuva Svarim than Dvar Avram. Many famous landmark tshuvas that he gives. The Dvar Avram, when the war broke out, he found himself in I think he was in Switzerland, he was convalescing, he wasn't a well man. And when he got a telegram about that the Milchama was breaking out, so he was in Switzerland, and he wanted to go back to Kovna. Even though the people were telling him, you can't go back to Kovna. Right now you're in Switzerland. Switzerland is a neutral country. It's a place that you're safe. You want to go back into the war-torn, you know, Lithuania? That's the last place in the world that you want to go back. But he insisted on going back. And he said very famously that a captain of a ship is the last to abandon ship, not the first. The people on the ship expect the captain to be on the ship till the last person is off the ship and safe. You can't get off a ship. I don't have the right to stay here in Switzerland knowing that my people, my community is suffering. That's a leader. That's somebody in the image of Avraham Avinu. He was a great manig in regular times, but then he became he saw himself. And that's how he acted, like a captain of a ship. Reb Chanan Wasserman, same idea. Chanan was one of the greatest Rosh Yeshivas, a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, and Reb Chanan was the Rosh Yeshiva Baranovich. his Kaivitz Shiurim, his Kaivitz Ha'aris, his Kaivitz Ma'amarim, the most classic of Achreinish Esfarim. He was a great manig. He was a manig Yisrael like perhaps no other. And again, when the war broke out, he was in America on a fundraising trip, and they pleaded with him, Rochanan, stay here, we'll give you a shteller. They offered him positions in many big yeshivas in New York. And he said, no. He says, I'm a captain of a ship. Same exact Lashon. He says, I'm a captain of a ship. A captain of a ship cannot abandon his ship in times of crisis. And he went to England, and again, in England, they begged him, you know, to stay there. No. And he went famously, there's a famous last picture, one of the last pictures of him is on a boat. They took as he was departing on a ship, going from England back to Europe, back to Eastern Europe, to Lithuania, where he was from. There's a famous picture of him standing, you know, as with a very serious face. He always had a serious face. And he was, you know, but it's such a perfect picture to illustrate this concept that he was a captain of a ship. He did not want to leave his people. And he went back, and of course he died. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem. But this is what a Manig Yisrael is. A Manig Yisrael is somebody that has both elements. It has the element of being able to be a regular leader, a paisek, a gain, somebody that gives shiurim, somebody that gives piske halacha, somebody that's able to give etzes and hadracha to people in regular times. But at the same time, he's also a captain of a ship that when there is crisis, when the ship is tossing, the ship of state, we could look towards him, that same leader that we look to for piske halacha, we could look towards him to be the leader, to be the captain of the ship when there's crisis. Rabbi Yashar Ber Soloveitchik, in 1940, was the Rav in Boston, and he was also the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, and he gave a classic hesped, a very famous hesped, about the Gadol HaDar Reb Chaim Eizer. Reb Chaim Eizer Grudzinski was also a Yid that was exactly like we're describing. He was a tremendous guy, and he wrote amazing tshuva svarim. He cared for every widow and orphan, and he had a tremendous bal chesed, everything that you could want in a manig, Reb Chaim Eizer was. But Reb Chaim Eizer goes down in history as perhaps being great, I don't want to say greatest, but extremely great during the period of time between the two world wars, when Klal Yisrael were in a tremendous upheaval, and they were being kicked around from one country to another, borders were shifting, yeshivas were being displaced, and he invited all of the yeshivas to Vilna, and where he was the Rav, and he set up Batei Medrash for each yeshiva, because all the yeshivas were like, you know, being evicted from their home cities, countries, and he provided for all of them. He was imagined being able to not just have achrayas for your own personal community, which is great, and your own personal yeshiva, which is quite a, you know, a huge, enormous responsibility, but to have achrayas for all the yeshivas. I don't know how many yeshivas exactly there were that were on, but he invited everybody, and all the yeshiva bachrim came, and he had to worry about how am I going to feed all these people, how am I going to provide food for them, and heat for them, firewood, lodging, shelter. But he took that all upon himself. He was a great captain of the ship of Klal Yisrael at that time. He was nifter tragically right at the beginning of the war, when Klal Yisrael, of the World War II, when Klal Yisrael needed him the most. Suddenly they had a kilokina b'keflayim. We got a, besides for the war being a terrible, terrible besura for Klal Yisrael, but on top of that, we lost Reb Chaim Eizer. And we needed a leader of his stature at that time, and Ve'inenu. So Rabbi Yashar Ber was asked to give the hesped about Reb Chaim Eizer, and it was given in Cincinnati. And he basically said that a beautiful hesped, a beautiful masterpiece of a hesped, as he was always known to give, Rabbi Yashar Ber. He says, the Kayin Gadol, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, had two major articles on him of significance. He had a tzitz, which was the headpiece that he wore that said, Kodesh Lashem. And he also had the Chayshen, the breastplate, which had all the names and precious jewels associated with the Shiftei Kah, the Yud Beis Shvatim. The tzitz represented halacha, because it was used as halachic inspiration to determine the most delicate questions of ritual purity. When it came to deciding matters of Tumah and Taira, the tzitz was the object on the kayin that gave him the ability to have the Ruach HaKodesh, to have the proper mindset to paskin the delicate shilas of Tumah and Taira. The Cheshin, on the other hand, was based on, as we know, it lit up to decide what? What was that used to decide, the Cheshin that the Kayin Gadol wore? It decided the most critical military and political decisions for the Jewish people. Whatever was needed, should we go out to battle or not? Politically, what should we be doing? What should Klal Yisrael be doing? That was also on the Kayin Gadol's body. That was part of his responsibility to decide the political fate of the nation. Rabbi Ashaber was saying that, unfortunately, many Jewish leaders think, and this is very important, that there's a split between these two responsibilities. Let the rabbis decide matters of religion. You have to know whether or not a chicken is kosher or not. An animal, does it, you know, is the lung treif? Is it fine? What are the, you go to a rabbi for that. You want to know, can you eat on Yom Kippur? Go to a rabbi. You want to know if, issues of the international dateline, whatever it is, go to a rabbi. The rabbis are good at that. Political issues, military strategy, that you go to other people. That there's professional diplomats for, or there's Jewish leaders, there's lay leaders, and they're the ones that you go to decide matters of state, matters of how do you deal with the government, how do you deal with war, how should you, which side should we choose? Sometimes Jews had to pick a side. You know, you had the communists on one side, and then you had the other, there was Napoleon versus the Russians. You always have to make decisions. Who's the best one to side with? Very difficult. That go to a politician, go to somebody that went to the Harvard School of Government, trained in diplomacy or something. That's who you give it to. And there were Jewish leaders that felt that was the reality, that rabbis are rabbis and Jewish leaders are the lay leaders. They're the ones that decide matters that rabbis don't know about. Rabbi Ashaber says that the Kayin Gadol shows, the model of the Kayin Gadol is that the very same person, the very same leader that was in charge, that had the tzitz on his forehead to decide matters of ritual purity, Tumah and Taira, all the most complex halachic details that were his responsibility, he was the very same person that wore on his chest the Cheshen HaMishpat, that decided matters with the Urim Tumim of whether we go to war or we don't go to war, politically, what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. And this is the template of Gedolei Yisrael. And Reb Chaim Eizer was the Gadol, he said, that showed everybody that both elements have to be, they must be in the same person. The very same person who paskins Shilas of Isser V'Hefter is the person that paskins the Shilas of what to do, Be'ez Sarah. And this is the greatness of Avraham Avinu. This is the model that Avraham Avinu had. Avraham Avinu was the manig of the world. He was able to decide in regular times all the major decisions that needed to be done. But it was the same Avraham Avinu that was also the Kabarnito Shel Sfina when there was crisis, when there was political fluctuations, when there was stormy weathers, and you needed a leader to take the helm, to stand at the wheel of the ship and to guide it and to navigate it. That's the same Avraham Avinu, that's the same Kayin Gadol, and that's the same Reb Chaim Eizer. We're living now in an Eis Tzara. There's no question that this is part of the storm that Avraham Avinu would help Klal Yisrael steer through. This is we're on a ship and the ship is tossing. It's not a secret that in every capital of the world, whether it's friendly capitals, quote unquote, or dangerous capitals, it's a pachad naira right now to see what's going on, to see the anti-Semitism that has reared its ugly head in so many ways that are surprising for us, because we grew up, we had a vacation, we had the ability to live in a good part of Galus. Our grandparents, in my case, my parents, they lived through the war. They saw the face of Esav. They saw the fangs. We had, for the last 70, 80 years, we were able to have sort of a honeymoon of Galus. We had a good period of time that we were able to cruise, not to say that there weren't terrible pockets of tragedy and crisis. There were, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, in all the milchamas that Eretz Yisrael has gone through, and many incidents that we had throughout the world, and terrible. But on the whole, for the most part, we have had a very nice period of Galus. For the last 60, 70, 75 years, we've had relative calm. And we were able to take advantage of the calm. And there were yeshivas that were built all over the world, Kailim and Beis Yaakovs, and we capitalized on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the bracha of being able to have some yeshiva das in this terrible storm of Galus. But now, and we hope that it's just a temporary event that won't drag on and won't be a precursor for much worse tidings, we don't know. But right now we are in a phase that's very stormy. We need not only manhigim, but we need a kabernita shel sfina. And the question is, who do we look towards for that? Who is the kabernita shel sfina? So we're watching, I think, if you're like me, you're very obsessed with the news, and we're watching, you know, the Prime Minister of Israel and the head of the army, the chief of staff, and the minister of defense. But Ledavaini, they don't make any mention of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's all, we're going to do it, and we're going to, you know, we with our army, and we with our professionalism, we with our expertise, and we with our drive, and we with our power, and we with our skill, and we with forces, and there's no mention of the Rabbeinu Shalom. These are not the manhigim that Klal Yisrael depend upon right now. Hopefully they're doing their job, and they should be blessed, and they seem to be blessed with tremendous Yad Dishmaya in spite of their lack of speaking about the Rabbeinu Shalom. But what Klal Yisrael really does need right now, and who our eyes have to be towards, is the Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbanim, Tamidei Chachamim, who have Ruach HaKodesh, and they're guiding the ship of Klal Yisrael. And they're telling us, not just militarily, how we're going to get through this, and what we're going to do in response, and revenge, and strategy, and what we have to look to is we have to see the Gedolei Yisrael. We have to go and understand the importance of bringing the Rabbeinu Shalom into the picture with bitachon, with emuna, with a chizuk in limanat Torah, with a chizuk in our tefillos. We have this opportunity on Tuesday to go to a tremendous rally on behalf of Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, to push back against the narrative. Now, you know, it's not a pashut decision to go. It's not. Who has the achrayas? Who could take the achrayas to go? And until the Agudas Yisrael came out that we should go, I don't think it was a davar pashut at all to go, to close our gemaras, to close down the yeshiva, and to go on buses to Washington, D.C., because some lay leaders decided that that's the appropriate thing to do. That's not what a Ben Taira does. A Ben Taira follows Das Taira, Gedolei Yisrael, or Chaim Eiser. The Aguda came out with a statement that, you know, the Mayetzes Gedolei HaTaira, the Rosh Yeshivas, the Gedolei Yisrael, have decided that it's appropriate to go and join. And so we are, as a yeshiva, going to join this rally, because this is what the time calls for. But it's not because there was lay leaders that decided this is the right thing politically. How do you know? Maybe it's a terrible idea. Maybe it's not a good idea to do this. Maybe the better idea is to stay and learn. To daven, to say tillum, maybe make a tillum rally instead of going and hearing some. It's not a pashta thing. But when the Me'atzah de la Derek came and said this is the right thing to do, that's it. That's so we have the Kabernita Shel Sfina, and they decided this is the right thing to do. But every decision in stormy times, just like when we go, when things are regular, we have a shiloh, we don't go to a lay leader, we go to a Pesach, we go to a Rav, we go to a Gadol. When we need an Eitzah, what to do with our life, if we should do this business, should we do this Shidduch, should we do this, if it's not clear, we go to a Rav, a Pesach, a Gadol, because we understand that they have the best understanding of what the Torah, what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from us in this situation. When it comes to crises, when it comes to times of upheaval, and we don't know what to do, the people that we listen to is not the lay leaders. It's not the people that have fancy degrees or have fancy titles or fancy offices. It always has to be that we listen to Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, the Kabernita Shel Sfina, the Avraham Avinus, the Kohen Gadol of our times, that's who we have to listen to. Our Rosh Yeshivas and our Manhigim, those are the only ones that really matter in our decision-making ability. Not, and sometimes we have to factor in other factors. That's for the Rosh Yeshivas to decide. They have to know what exactly. That's not our place. But a Manig Yisrael is a Manig on every front, both in religious matters and political matters and everything in between. And so it behooves us. Don't think that, this is not the right thing to do. I think I'd rather do, stay and learn and I have this and that. Your cheshbon is understandable, but you're not factoring in that that's not how a Ben Taira makes decisions. A Ben Taira makes decisions, I'll pee the Taira. And if this is what the Taira wants, how do we know what the Taira wants? Because this is what the Metzis Gedalia Taira, this is what the Gedalia Yisrael says is appropriate, this is what we do. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should be going in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu and following the Gedolei Yisrael through these treacherous, very frightening times. But we need the Rabbeinu Shalom more than that. It's not a time to say, Kaychi Be'etzim Yadi, our army is going to do it, our brilliant military strategy. Necessary, yes, but that's not what we look to. We don't look towards that for our Yeshua. Our Yeshua, Ezri Me'im Hashem, we look to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and by extension, we look towards Gedolei Yisrael to tell us what the Das Torah is, what the Rabbeinu Shalom would want. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should go, and we should be able to find the right derech in our lives to lead us out of this Esara. And in Mitzvah Hashem, it will be B'vi Yisrael Tzedek, B'mheira B'yameinu, Amen, Amen.